3, 2. Welcome, everybody, to the Side Quest, your really late podcast about video games and gaming entertainment. Holy shit, Sam Dixon joined us. We were about to leave you in the dust, Sam.
No, I was Amazon Priming real quick.
Oh, it's Prime Day. Did you find anything? Anything?
There's actually currently a price error on Digimon New World Order, so if you're interested in Digimon, there you go.
They were my favorite NWA faction in wrestling, the Digimon New World Order.
How much was the price error for?
I think it was supposed to be $29, and it is currently $7.96.
Tom, you are fucking buying it right now, aren't you, Tom?
The fuck you think I am? Of course I am. That.
Digimon New World Order?
It was Digimon World Next Order.
That's Sam Dixon. I'm Dolly Domofsky. That's also Tom Johnson.
What's up, guys?
And Zach Quest.
What's up?
And Ron Kelly.
What's up, everybody?
We got a full slate of idiots wonderful dudes on the show for you guys today. We're gonna have a lot of fun. Idiots is pretty accurate right now. We're avoiding Prime Day just to be with all of y'all. Yeah, Prime Day.
I mean, you could do both.
I don't even know what that is. I'm gonna be honest.
It's here in the U.S. and I don't know if it is it worldwide or not. I'm not sure. Amazon's doing their big like Christmas in July sale, their Black Friday in July sale. There really isn't anything that I saw that was even remotely interesting. Maybe it's kind
of
boring.
Copy of Neo tomorrow morning. That's a good. That's what I'm buying.
Yeah, I might actually do that. Really? I might actually get Neo.
I still haven't played Neo.
I think they have like the Fire tablets for like $30, so that could be an option. But whatever, we'll get to. If you hear us clicking around during the podcast, you'll understand why. In the meantime, Injustice 2 is $36. Anyways, in the meantime, we're going to talk about video games. We have chat a little bit about what we've been. Whoa, I'm getting like this really weird shadow. Check that out. We're going to talk about what we've been playing. What?
Nothing. Thank you for that hot tip, Sam.
Oh, did you get it?
You're welcome. Hey, also other side note, because the price errors keep coming, Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 plus 2.5 is $12.04 at checkout.
And it's supposed to be $33. Both of them right now, because he's really bad with money.
I am buying it. Yeah. Kingdom Hearts 1.5 plus 2.5?
I can't.
How do you get it?
I shouldn't be buying anything.
You got to add it to cart. It's add cart once you hit checkout.
Proceed to checkout. $12.76. Oh, placing the order. I don't even care. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm derailing the podcast.
No, that's totally all right. I don't care. Okay, place your order. I just don't even mind. That's fine. Whatever. And you can even, if you don't care about no rush shipping, you can get free $5 in pantry.
Woo! See, that actually rules. Because for me, because of my region, I get Amazon Fresh money.
Oh, you are lucky. See, what helps right now is you can even trade a lot of these games in for like a little bit more than what you're paying for right now.
Or I could use that money to buy ham and have it delivered to my door.
That's awesome. Sam, where are you seeing these deals? Are they just popping up on like Wario's?
Wario.
Yeah, I was going to say everybody's favorite deals master. Wario,
he's the best. Wario, the deals warlock over there.
The deals warlock. Shout out to Wario64. And 2.8 is $12.24.
Oh my gosh.
God,
so $12.24. Is 2.8 the one with all the extra bullshit? Like, oh, yes. This is the PSP game.
Oh, okay. I'm getting this too. Thank you for joining us.
Which one of those do I want? What's the difference between the two?
So 2.5 and 1.5 are the regular games. The 2.8 thing is like all of the PSP and DS side crap.
Does it include both 1 and 2 or just 2?
No, it's 1.5 and 2.5. So it's like mixes that they put out for PS2.
Okay, so that's if I want both the first game and the second game, I want the 1.5 and the 2.5 one.
Yes. Yeah. What is Digimon World?
Look at the 2.8 one anyways.
Okay.
What is Digimon World? I bought it anyways.
No, I haven't played this one. I played the other Digimon World games. I'm not sure if it's still
Actually, what are those? Are those like Pokemon games?
No,
I think it's the one where you raise them. I think that's what the New World one.
That's what I thought, because I played like the older Digimon World games. I haven't played this New Order thing.
It might be that
one. Wario. Oh, Digimon World is $7.49 before taxes. Oh my god.
Yeah, dog.
Dude, oh my god.
Yeah.
Fucking guaranteed delivery tomorrow. Thank you, Amazon.
Oh my lord.
I live in a one-day shipping zone for a lot of things because I'm close enough to a
I'm buying shit. I'm not gonna play these games. I already know it. I'm not gonna play these games.
This is wonderful fucking radio.
This is fantastic. Hey guys, video games, right? This is what we're this is what we've come down to. Anyways, we're gonna talk about a lot of fun stuff today. Basically what we've been playing, what we've been buying, obviously. And we'll go from there, I guess. So who wants to talk about what they've been playing first? Aaron, why don't you tell us what you've been playing? Because you've been jumping into that Final Fantasy, haven't you?
Yeah. I played a lot of the new expansion, Stormblood, for Final Fantasy 14.
All right, tell me about this.
Feel good.
Tell me about this.
I don't think the thing I wrote has gone live yet, but. Mm-mm. Basically, I have the same problem. I have the same problem with Stormblood that I have with Heavensward.
Really?
Yeah, it's just Final Fantasy 14 is really good about pushing non-expansion content. So, like every other patch, they do a big content push, and then the patches in between those are like, you know, balancing and maybe a couple of new pieces of gear or whatever, stuff like that. So when they release an expansion, it's like, oh, cool, it's a new map. And then everything else is just more of the same because you're constantly getting drip fed that content. It never really feels new. But other than that, it's a really good expansion. The new bosses are cool. The new storyline's amazing. I'm level 70 on a bunch of classes now. And sweet. have been since like 3 days into the expansion.
That's freaking awesome. I mean, yeah. Like I've been wanting to get into Final Fantasy 14. I played 11, and oddly enough, I was cleaning out my parents' basement the other day just to get rid of some old stuff, and I found my original PlayStation 2 version of Final Fantasy 11.
Yeah, the good one.
That with came the hard drive. With the hard drive, and I still have the hard drive. And I thought, oh my god, I remember playing this thing, and I actually had a subscription to this. My first MMO was this.
I have. 1,300 hours logged in Final Fantasy 11.
Oh my god! Yeah, that was nowhere near that. I was probably at about like, 200 hours.
I was at 51 days when I stopped playing that game.
Oh my gosh! I kept recreating new characters just so I could kill off my old ones and I could learn as I went along. But I did remember liking that. I had the giant box. They don't do fun stuff like that anymore. Like, there's no Final Fantasy 14 external hard drive type of thing. But I enjoyed it, and I never got into 14.
Sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I played 14 for about a couple months right after A Realm Reborn happened, and then I stopped. So I've been getting back into it now.
Guys, by the way, Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy is $6 right now.
Oh, that's about a dollar more than it's worth, but that's pretty good.
Okay, I'm purchasing this bit. Add to cart. Anyways, yeah, keep going.
Glad I paid $40 for that game.
$6.42.
Jesus. That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I don't know.
Go ahead, 14. So you mentioned a little bit about how they do these kind of their kind of big changes. Are there like have they messed around with the classes at all?
Oh yeah.
They did?
Yeah, so up until this expansion, the way it used to go would be like the example that I write about, because the class I main is White Mage. Hmm. Like in every MMO, I play healer. So in order to be the best useful White Mage in Final Fantasy 14 up until this expansion, you would have to level up White Mage, and then you would have to level up Black Mage, which is a DPS class, because you could slot skills from different classes and use them. And Black Mage would get a skill that would let you instant cast spells, which is really good if you need to, say, resurrect somebody, because that has a long cast time. So every class you would play, you would basically have to level up other classes you probably didn't want to play to get their skills and yada yada yada. And with this expansion, they got rid of all that. They gave every class like just five slots and a pool of unlocked skills, and you can slot them like as soon as you meet the level for them. You don't get to level anything else up. They reworked all of the jobs slightly, gave them like these new like gauges depending on what you're playing. That like for White Mage again, when you heal people, you charge up this gauge that has three lilies on it, and then if you cast certain spells when you have lilies, you might get reduced cooldowns. So now instead of just healing and healing and healing and using your skills to like try and regen your mana in the downtime, you get like AoE skills that you can just drop down. And then if you have this meter charge, you can cast it really quickly right again. So yeah, like they reworked a bunch of the classes in like some really, really neat ways. Some sort of.
That's kind of cool. The game certainly has legs, and they've done a really good job of. I mean, they had the big kind of the original redo of the game, right? There was that first try at it, and then
yeah.
I will say, they did fuck up their free trial thing that they put out.
Did they really?
Because I wanted to fuck around with it and be like, I want to get back into this, and I started up my thing, and the first class quest that you get at level 5. You get up to level 35 for free, but the first class quest I got at level 5 is like, hey, go to this guy and slash tell him something, but you can't slash tell until you pay for the game.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, well, I guess that's the end of this until I pay. So then I just found my key and reactivated my ship. But yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
But I mean, yeah, I don't know. The expansion is, it's very good. If you're ever going to play Final Fantasy 14, this is a pretty good time to get in. And if you're the kind of person who has more money than time, they just added a whole bunch of new cash items that you can just buy and skip all the previous games.
Shit, really?
Yeah, there's it's like $25 for a potion that puts you at level 50 and skips right up to the beginning of the new expansion.
Oh, fuck, I'm going to do that.
Or level 60, rather, I think.
What am I wasting my time doing? All this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that's basically it. That's all I played because then my monitors exploded.
Yeah, you've had a whole lot of fun with your gaming lifestyle lately. You went from like PC to PS4 to back to PC.
Yep.
And now you have like nothing basically.
Yep, I got a PS4 and a television over the course of like 4 months, and then I got Persona 4 and I played a bunch of that, and then my previous computer died, so I had
Persona
to,
4 or 5.
5, sorry, yeah. And then my computer died, so I found somebody who was trading a pretty decent PC, and they wanted a PS4, so I traded them my TV and my PS4 and got this PC. And then I had the PC for like 3 weeks, and then not one but two monitors died, and I only have two monitors. So right now I've got a broken laptop going just so I can be on this call.
There was a book that was released, I think, like 11 or 12 years ago. It was called All My Life for Sale. And it was about this guy who sold everything on eBay, sold his whole life on eBay, and like was able to get like $2,000 for everything he owned, like clothing, computers, laptops and stuff. And it inspired some other dude to trade up, to see how far he could get trading up like crap that he found. He was like he went to a conference and got like a stupid big red paperclip, and like traded that paperclip for like, I don't know, an award, and then traded that award. Like he would meet people through like Craigslist and eBay and like just trade things. And he kept trading up to the point where he was able to trade, like he got like a recording contract from like some sound producer, and he traded that recording contract for like a small apartment in an affluent area, and then traded that apartment for like a house somewhere. And this dude just kept making these amazing trades and trading up to some fantastic things. It seems like you're doing the reverse of that.
Yep.
You're trading down.
or at best, trading straight across.
Or trading straight across.
Depending on how you value things.
Oh, man. We should set up a Patreon or something for you.
That's not even getting into the headphones, which I will not bring you guys down with, but that's been a whole
No, I want to hear this. Tell me about your headphones.
Okay, so I, for the longest time, so as you guys can see right now, I'm wearing a pair of headphones that obviously have a mic on them, but for some reason there is a mic in front of my mouth. So I have never had a proper standing mic. What's around my neck right now is a pair of Turtle Beach P11s that I bought forever ago, and then immediately one of the headphones died in it. But the mic's still good. So what I was doing for the longest time was I had an ancient pair of Sony headphones that sounded really good, but were just headphones, so I was pairing those with this mic. And then finally, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, okay, I got to get at least a proper headset with a proper mic. Like, this is a lot of cords. It's ridiculous. So I got another pair of Turtle Beach Recon 60Ps. And within a day, the inline amp blew. So I took them back and got a replacement pair because, you know, 14-day return policy or whatever. And plugged those in, and then in less than a day, the inline amp blew. So then I said, okay, maybe it was a bad batch or something. I, you know, all I can do is in-store credit. I'm going to get something else. So I got I got these, which are Afterglow Level 5 Pluses. And they sound amazing, but they're console slash PC. So the 3.5 connector is a 4-ring connector, and I can't plug that into my computer. So I need to get an adapter to split it into 2 3-ring connectors to plug into my headphones or my mic. So right now I can plug it into my headphone port or my microphone port and use one but not the other. So I'm wearing them for sound, and I've got my old P11s or the mic.
I feel really shitty about the like hearing your plight because I'm literally drowning in headphones right now.
We should send some of these over to. I got a couple headphones sitting over here too that I might just send over to you.
I have them, like, I have a box of headphones. Because my life is a joke.
You deal exclusively with this. I have a pair of Skull Candy over here that stopped working after I reviewed them. I have, immediately stopped working after I reviewed them.
I have a pair of Astro A10s that are hanging off the side of this thing. I have this pair of Lucid Sounds that I got in a gift bag. And I have, like...
Oh, did you get that from E3? At the Pactor party or something, or
yeah, and I have 2 pairs of PlayStation Gold headphones that I somehow fell into at some point. But one of them is the cool gray one from the 20th anniversary thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are nice.
Yeah, those are nice. It's just that I don't like the way they feel. And then I have a fucking pair of Sam. You know all about this, remember? Like, because Sam once wrote a board game article.
Yes.
Yeah. And then everyone with fucking board games is like, Sam, you want us to send you your board game?
Yeah.
I'm getting those now too, actually, because I wrote a board game review.
So I wrote a thing about headphones, and now I have fucking headphone people being like, You want headphones? So I'm trying to write a review for these Turtle Beaches.
Seriously, that's a pro tip for anybody who wants to be a gamer, a game journalist, and wants to like actually get a ton of stuff to review. Just tweet about or review something like tech wise, and you'll start getting people lining up to get that over to you.
I tried that once. It never happened. Remember? we were going to do that mouse forever ago, and then they just stopped responding.
That's right. Some companies are looking diehard for people to review like keyboards and mice and stuff right now. I think times change all the time, but I get a lot of weird, I think I literally reviewed one of those little portable chargers, the phone chargers, when those weren't a thing. Like, I reviewed one for the site, and then we got put on every single stupid PR list for phone chargers. So,
Christ.
Anyways, so Final Fantasy 14. I plugged it in.
And my phone has a full battery, so 10-10.
Well, it was funny because I'm like, you know what? They were kind enough to send this charger thing to me. I'm like, let me actually try charging shit that's not a phone. Like, put the 3DS in there. That worked fine. Vita charged fine. The Wii U gamepad charged fine. And the iPad charged fine. I'm like, I tried to kind of make it gaming related because hey, there might be chances you might need to charge shit. So,
sure.
The next thing you know, we're on every stupid PR list, and I had to start turning people away. It's like, guys, we can get these things for free if we walk into any gas station now. They will literally throw them at you at trade conferences, trade shows.
Yeah, we're all about fidget spinners now.
Fidget spinners. Yeah, have... internet, send us your fidget spinners. Tell me about your Bluetooth fidget spinner, John. Tom.
Oh, I got a Bluetooth fidget spinner.
You're a monster. You're a monster.
It has like where the weights are as speakers, and you can sync your phone to it.
No.
Yeah, you can sync your phone to it. It's a little warbled version of whatever you're listening to.
It's a warbled. It's when you're listening to like Chance the Rapper. It's like the worst version possible.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Oh, God. God bless you, Tom. Oh, when I was your age, we made fidget spinners out of blades. Very cool. Well, thanks, Aaron. Hopefully you get some of this stuff figured out.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? If we see any headphones on sale for $12 on Amazon Prime, we'll make sure we pick some up and have that shipped over to you.
The adapter I need is like $3 on Amazon, but they don't ship here, so I can't even just...
Hey, well, there's the Blue Fire Professional 3.5mm PC LED gaming base stereo headsets. Normally $20, they're $15 now. So there you go. There must be high quality. good Lord. Anyways, Tom, what have you been playing, my dearest friend?
Which Call of Duty game do you want to hear about? Because I played about 6 of them.
Have you been playing Call of Duties? Why?
Why? Because I had to make a video for work where I had to, it was a history of the Call of Duty franchise. So I had to play all of them to capture video. And then like a couple of them made me go, yeah, I actually go back and play these games. These are some good games. So let me tell you, Call of Duty Black Ops 1, still
yes.
awesome game. And it still looks and feels very modern on a PC. Black Ops 2, less so. What'd you say?
No, I was gonna say, we give a lot of shit to Call of Duty because they make one every year. They're actually good games, though. They're not shitty games. They're just good games. You know what you're going to get.
I did Call of Duty Black Ops. I did Black Ops 2. I did Advanced Warfare.
Oh, that's a good one. I like Advanced Warfare.
Advanced Warfare is really good. Black Ops 1 still has like the coolest little hooks in it, though. So that's a real neat game. I'm surprised that holds up so well. Especially knowing like where that story is going. Like it was still really fun to go through.
It's a good story, too.
It's good. You got Gary Oldman being an angry old Russian man.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
Played a bunch of Crash Insane Trilogy. Any of you guys been playing that?
Nope. I just ordered it for $6, so I'll let you know. For no reason whatsoever. And then I'll play it in 2019. I'll tell you all about it when they actually
harder than the original game. So
when they actually make the real Crash sequels.
Yeah. It's harder than the original ones, and not in good ways. So that's fun. I played. Crashing a drone into the sand. Nice. And then having to dismantle it and clean all the motors out.
That's my favorite game.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Drones are something I've been interested to get into. I have buddies that do like videography and photography and stuff, and they use drones all the time. Like they use them exclusively for a lot of their work, and they love it. So I'm curious to get into it. Is that what you've been using it for, or just for fucking around?
Okay, here we're going to get into the weird Tom doesn't know how to spend money section. So I have 3 drones.
But you don't have an apartment.
No, here's the thing. I have an okay place to live.
Yeah.
I have an all right place. It's not as big as I'd like, but I have 3 drones.
fucking love you, Tom.
So I have a DJI Phantom 3 Professional. That was my first drone. That's a bigger one. That's the big white guy. That one does 2.7K video. It's okay. It's decent. That's the one I crash into the sand. I have a DJI Mavic, which is smaller. It's like this big. And it does 4K. It flies really fast. It does all sorts of cool stuff. It's a little sporty thing. That one, though, has safety stuff on it. That one has sensors. So I can't crash that one into a wall or into a person because it will stop. The older one, I could just fly that right into a building or a person if I wanted to, which is kind of cool, which means I could also just grab it out of the sky. Then I have a racing drone because I saw a video about a drone racing and it looks like some next level like Blade Runner shit.
God. Wow.
So that one actually has like a fucking HMD that you put on your face and you're looking through the drone's camera as you fly in first person.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Through these racetracks. That's some next level shit that is disorienting. And but if you go to drone races and you have an HMD, it all goes off radio frequency because that's the only thing with low enough latency. So if you're sitting in the stands and you have one on, you can flick through all of the drone feeds. So you can walk, go through like first person for those. It's a good time. Did crash one of them into the sand though. That was the wind took it. The wind is a cruel mistress.
The wind is a cruel.
I was coming in for a landing. Something happens. The wind happened when you're by the beach. The winds are strong. Just blew it over onto its side, right into the sand, and the rotors would not turn. That's how much sand was in the motors. So I had to clean it, like take them completely apart and clean them out. It seems to work fine though. I want to be 100% sure though, because it's not like, oh, so my car isn't 100% like there. It just stopped driving and now pulled over. No, this thing falls out of the fucking sky like a rock. So it's like a 12-pound thing falling out of the sky like a rock. You don't want to do that. That's Tom's drone minute, though. That's pretty cool.
I like that. That'll be every week we're going to do Tom's drone minute.
I could be mistaken, but wasn't this basically the plot of like the second episode of The Expanse?
Yeah. And I'm going... I have a meeting with a guy from DJI to go look at a new, the next level up drone. It's a big boy. It's like 3 feet by 3 feet.
Oh gosh.
We may have to get into that for side questing. I see them all the time do drone stuff all the time.
Yeah, for side questing.
Yes.
Drones fucking rule.
For side questing. No, actually they are really cool. Like I was at the, at CES this year, they did like the choreographed drone dancing stuff, which is pretty badass because you'd have people standing like in the middle of the swarm of drones flying around them. And you giggle now, Zach, but I'm telling you, this shit is stupidly
synchronized
fun.
Synchronized drone dancing.
Drone dancing.
I was flying mine over the bay and it just disconnected. That was fun. So I had to bring it back.
Oh, geez.
With radio frequency and had no eyes. So that was a blast. Then an old man came by and asked if I was recording him from the sky. So that was cool.
I'm going to shoot down that drone.
I told him to get the fuck out of my face. I have no patience for that.
No, you said get the fuck out of my millennial face.
Then you showed him your fidget spinner and walked off.
I dipped away on a pair of Heelys.
Millennials are killing private walks on the beach.
My fidget spinned away.
Yeah. I'm going to Photoshop you on Heelys with fidget spinner rims.
Now, this is the important question. Do your drone propellers have speakers in them that you can connect via Bluetooth?
No, I do have a light kit on one of them, though.
What does that even mean?
Like ground effects, except it's in the sky, so it's not ground effects.
I see. I assume it's so I can see it when I fly it at night.
So you've never actually used the light effects?
No, I have. I'm just not sure what they're for. I just thought it looked funny.
God.
In short, drones are cool. If you want to get into the weird racing ones, the drone itself only costs like $300, and the parts are easily replaceable, which is good because you will fuck that thing up constantly. I flew it into a wall last week. You think you can make the turn? You think you're under the thing? Because a lot of these races are in warehouses that they just retrofit with S-Drone racetracks. And they just have like a bunch of neon lights that they have. It's like the hoops that you gotta go through. It's a weird scene.
Oh my gosh.
You expect to go in there and they have like future drugs from like Blade Runner or Ghost in the Shell.
You ever tried Recall?
Is that a drug?
All right, someone take this away from me. Someone else talk about games.
You don't want to talk about drones anymore.
Well, I always want to talk about drones, but I'll talk about drones too much.
Zach, what have you been playing, man?
Oh, started playing Breath of Fire 4 2 days ago. And
classic.
It's
okay.
Super fun. I mean, I just got done playing a pretty heavy game like twice. So
yeah.
I'm taking a break from the heavy stuff and just playing that and just relaxing. But I haven't really been playing games much because I just wrote huge.
Yeah, I've got to go through. Sorry, I go through that.
Yep. Yeah, then I have a review game I've been messing around with.
Okay.
But haven't been playing much. Just been chilling because I had to play Nier like twice in a week. So that was kind of heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been just taking a break. Pretty boring over here.
Okay. Your Nier piece is it's massive to say the least.
Yeah.
So he lists his draft as a Nier Automata, an existential meta narrative of life. Do not read 4.5k words in close. Basically saying, get a coffee and a 5-hour energy drink, Dolly, and go through this.
I couldn't write 4,500 words on Nier if you literally put a gun to my head and told me I had to, or else I would kill my entire family.
Dude, like I played that twice during the week, and I just had so much to say, and I just I wrote, and then I woke up the next day, I wrote, and then I wrote again, and then I looked at it, it's like, oh shit, this is 4,000 words. Oh my gosh.
God, I'd love to be in college again. Like, I would love to be. I would not because I would have more time, because I wouldn't have more time, but I'd be more motivated.
Yeah.
You're holding the torch for all of us, Zach. You're the only one with enough energy to do this. It's very commendable.
Yeah, I mean, I just try to write about cool shit, so.
Good deal. Good deal. Sam, what have you been playing, my man?
Well, let's see here. Technically, I haven't played a whole lot because I live in a van.
Literally in a van down probably near a river.
Odd days.
Yeah.
Yes. Close. Yeah. So that was fun. But what I did get to play was, I guess we'll start with the bad and go from there.
Sure.
How about Valkyria Revolution?
You guys remember
that? Oh, no.
That game is dog shit.
The game's so bad.
Oh man,
I played the first one. It was really good. Is this one?
The first one's great.
Is this one a return to form?
I don't. This is like, this is like it's like finding a brand that you love. Yeah, it's finding a brand that you love, and you're like, oh boy, like, oh, these are Cheeto snacks. Let's see what Cheetos are into nowadays. And you open it, and it's just Cheetos covered in dog poop. Like, man, I've played a lot of games in the 26 years I've been alive, and like, there's really like nothing to say about it. It's just so bland. Everything like is bad. It's like a half cooked idea here, half cooked idea there. Well, they won't get salmonella. Just put them together. That'll be fine. Like, man, it's such a shame because even when they first showed that game, I remember, you know, being disappointed that it's not normal Valkyria, but being excited to sort of like give it a try. Like, I was giving them the benefit of the doubt. And it sounds like what happened was a bunch of fans were like, well, this isn't Valkyria Chronicles. And it became this weird hybrid, which like just doesn't work for it at all. And it becomes very uninteresting and like almost like is aggressively getting you to not want to play the game. And now I played it on Vita, which apparently was the worst choice I could have made. It was honestly probably 2.5 hours before I even got to move anything in the game. I got to hit the X button to progress some dialogue, but it would be like 5 lines of dialogue, loading screen.
Oh, geez.
10 more lines of dialogue, loading screen.
I remember when you told me you were playing it and you said, they asked me if I wanted the Vita version or the PS4 version, and it turns out the best answer would have been neither.
Yeah. It's like as I said in like the hot take, which it really ended up being more of a rant. There's definitely this combat system. Somebody out there will think it's the perfect like combat system for them. I'd like to meet that person and learn why. But I honestly think somebody out there will really enjoy the combat system because it is like the best way of making an action game slow paced. But even saying that out loud made me feel dirty. So that's Valkyria Revolution for you.
Oh, geez.
The Edelweiss in it.
No.
Well, then it's not a Valkyria game. Fuck off.
Yeah, there's no tank. There's no good reason to do anything. The main character sucks. All the female characters in the game are like oddly have like these huge eyeballs. That if you've ever seen that comic, that's like, how do we make things cute? Oh, we just give it bigger eyes, and by the end panel, it's like, see, gorgeous, and it's just like a dog with like eyes that are bigger than the earth. Like that is like what they did, like planning this thing. It doesn't even look like it's from the same series. Like, I don't know. I was.
There's one chick in the game. Like, I've seen her character art, how she's progressed. Like, her boobs have gotten so big over time. Like,
I saw her eyes. I saw that picture and I was shook.
Yeah. A friend of the SideQuesting family, Steven, like, posted all these videos and stuff like that. And, like, I almost put them and just, like, used that as my review. But I was like, no, he wrote an actual review for Ars Technica. So I didn't want. I didn't want to just steal his thunder, but man, there, like, the thing that really gets me is, I think it's the girl you're talking about, is there's a spy that's like a girl that goes undercover or whatever, you know, a femme fatale, because they use that line like 30 times, who like goes undercover like on the other opposing army to like get information out of generals and stuff. And literally her going undercover is she's wearing the exact same outfit, but instead of like short purple hair, now she has like long blonde hair. And I'm like, ooh, you really tricked them. Like, I would be surprised if they didn't just give her like the logo of the faction she actually works for and just showed up and it's like, oh, who's this woman I've never met before? And it's definitely not trying to get information from me. It was bad. It was bad. But let's jump ship for a minute and talk about Death Squared.
Okay, yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
is which when is that, a lovely.
When is that?
So the review embargo lifts Wednesday, but I am allowed to talk about it without giving it a score. So okay. We're not going to use any numbers.
Which is great because we don't use numbers right now. It's not numbers. Anyway.
Exactly. Well, and also Death Squared has been out on Steam forever.
That's true.
So
that's true.
So Death Squared is a lovely co-op puzzler where you I was just about to say you and two or four friends, which those are numbers, sorry. You and a couple friends like go and
you
solve
and five
puzzles.
Out of my friends.
So there's like a story mode. Oh, well, and first of all, both the two-player and the four-player mode can be played by a single person with a single controller.
Oh, really?
Which is interesting, and makes the four-player puzzles like incredibly difficult, and I wouldn't recommend doing it. But yeah, so the story mode is one or two players. You don't have to play it, with two people. One stick controls the left one, and one stick controls the blue one, one stick controls the red one. I'm assuming if you have the red and blue color Joy-Cons, it would only make sense that one would be controlled by the correct color. Yeah, it's just a bunch of different like little challenges, and you're these blocks, and you've got to make it to the circle, like almost like home base, like a Roomba docking itself, to solve the level puzzles. And I think it's great. When you're playing by yourself, it gets a little confusing at times, like which stick is the correct one. Like, I've been playing with a pro controller on the TV. So, like, I often forget that, like, oh, the blue one's the right stick. And then I'll be like, okay, got to be delicate here. And then I'll use the wrong stick and kill myself, which is not great. The only thing that I will mention about this game, and I'm not sure what game's trailer said this, but there was a trailer recently for I think a PlayStation VR game that mentioned that it was like, oh, it's another game about testing AIs with like a quirky AI like leading you through the game. And I kind of giggled to myself when I saw that, and I was like, oh yeah, that is kind of like a genre that's happening, right? And that's exactly what Death Squared is.
Really?
So it almost seems, and here's the thing, all of them are like okay games. Like, Portal 2 is really good. I think Death Squared is a great game. I'm blanking.
Stanley Parable.
Yeah, Stanley Parable. Like, games like that are great. Like, I don't think I've ever played a bad one, but it's sort of becoming a trend now where if you have a puzzle game, the correct answer is, oh, well, we can't just let them move things around on here. What do? Give them somebody snarky to talk to them while it's going on, and maybe they'll enjoy it a little bit better. And I don't have a problem with it, but I guess I kind of see it becoming a problem over time. Thomas is Alone is another one of those. Or was alone.
He's not alone anymore.
He's not alone anymore. Yeah.
The sequel, Thomas made a couple friends along the way. The spoilers for that game, I guess, if you, have, if you haven't played it since 2010. But the nice thing about this game being on the Switch is obviously you have two-player controllers at a moment's notice, and you can take it anywhere and play with four people. Now, I will say that some of the later levels get a little bit bigger in size, so they're kind of hard to see on the tablet screen if you were going to play it separate from the machine, home television. But yeah, I think it works very well. I would recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it at a certain numerical value, but I think it's great. And I think people should play it with two to three friends.
Two, three, or four friends.
Yeah. I guess the only other thing I've been playing is I got the season pass for Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Tell me about this.
So I haven't played too much of it. I've kind of just been... I saved one of the Guardians so I could beat it up at the fireworks tent and then never played Zelda at all while I was up at the fireworks tent because I was getting through Valkyria Revolution and playing some of this Death Squared.
Did you look at your murder map?
So I did, and I realized that like I must have died a lot right at the beginning of that game and then didn't spend a lot of time dying past that. I've just been sort of getting all the DLC armor to sort of like reacclimate myself to that game. And man, Breath of the Wild's the best game that's ever been made.
I love it so much.
Ah, man, it's so good.
Did any of you guys catch the SGDQ speedrun of it?
No. I really want to see it, but I've been like putting off. Like, if I see gifs of other people in Breath of the Wild, I still go past them because I want to experience that game like I'm a little newborn baby and have never played anything before.
You should not watch the speedrun then, because 43 minutes from beginning to end.
You could see some sick fucking techniques though.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh,
some of those those shrines stuff they do is amazing.
Yeah, nothing's better than like being like, I want to get over there right now. Okay, log, let's get me over there. You just do the stasis and ride it like a surfboard all the way across the map.
It's such a good game. I'll get into what I've been playing in a second here, but
are you playing Dark Void?
All right, we're getting into what I've been playing.
Or hey, Dark Sector.
I finally finished Dragon Quest. 7 on the 3DS. Ooh. Yay! 150 hours later, I 100% of that game.
Dolly, I know I've said this before, but I need to reiterate it. You are going to die one day.
Yeah, I am. You got the plan. I feel like it right now.
I spent 150 hours playing Dragon Quest 7. What else could I have spent that time with?
Oh, so many other things. I love the Dragon Quest games. Zach, you're a lover of these classic JRPGs.
They're amazing.
They're so good because they're so pure, and I'm so excited for the next one coming out here, 11. But
can I ask you one question about it?
Yo,
how many characters you encountered? How many of them looked like Gohan?
One. Okay, only one looks like Gohan. after I finished that game, I thought, okay, what are the next things I have to do? And I realized I do need to plow through the rest of these stupid 3DS games, but at the same time, I really want to get back into Zelda. So I did a little bit of both. I took Zelda with me, and I've been playing Bravely Second on the 3DS, which is really good, and it goes by really quick. I'm at 20 hours into it. I'm like mostly through chapter 2 out of 4 chapters. I'll be done with that game in the next week or two, or in my case, the next 2 months. but Zelda's just so good, and it's – And I know, Zach, I know it's not your favorite of the year. I know you've had some you know, design issues with it, but it's hit me perfect in the minimal amount of hand holding it's done. So I've been getting into kind of retro gaming. I bought the Hyperkin Retron, and I think it is, which is just the NES games, and plugged it into a TV here and plugged a bunch of old games in there. And I tweeted about it this morning, but old games suck. Like, nostalgia is great, but man, old games suck. Like, Top Gun was bad. The original Turtles game is bad. X-Men is horrible.
Terrible game.
The original Ninja Gaiden is not good. Wrath of the Black Manta is a better game, but no one ever talks about it. So I'm playing through these games, and every single one is bad. And I'm thinking, well, I loved these when I was a kid because I didn't know any better. But then I put in Zelda, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I have Zelda on like every other device, every gaming device I have, but it's just still so good and so pure because it lets you kind of run at your own pace. It was the original open world action adventure game. And so current Zelda Breath of the Wild recaptures that for me. There's like almost no hand holding. I don't know how many times I've had a horse kick me in the chest into like a freaking pool of water as I try to sneak up behind it, and it's so satisfying to get murdered by a horse or a goat or whatever on the road. But it's so good, and it's the purity of it. It's like, just go and fuck around. I think the next step for Zelda, as open world as this is, but then I think the next step for Zelda is to make it procedurally generated, or at least focus on the AI, because one thing that I do think kind of holds it back a little bit is that everything respawns in the same exact location it is all the time, with like the Blood Moon and everything. But everybody knows where the different camps are for the, you know, the Bokoblins and all the other stuff. So I think it'd be cool if there's a certain level of randomness to where things spawn, to the AI for these the in-game enemies and some of the plot points, where I think that could really be a fully, you know, it could be Zelda, like how Zelda the original was almost intended to be. So I think that's probably the next step for Zelda down the line, the next 8 years when they make the next one for the Switch Pro or the Switch 4 or whatever's coming out next. But yeah, Zelda's great. I've also been playing ARMS, and I was showing the just this awesome color combination. Look at that's beautiful. This is probably my favorite console color combo right now by far. I love white consoles because they stand out beautifully.
Is that white?
No, this is not white. It's yellow. Sorry, it's yellow. I love white consoles because they stand out from my black entertainment center, but they can look bad over time depending on how much dust is on them. But this is freaking gorgeous, and I love it. And I know Tom said he got the neon pink and green, which is another color combination that I'm looking forward to for these Joy-Cons. But God, I never realized, like, I'm just buying I have six controllers, or I own five controllers for the Switch, and I have another one on order for a six, and there's no need for six controllers. Like, you have two right off the bat. I got the neon red and blue that came with the first console, and I got a Pro Cons. That was my third controller. Then I got these two yellow ones, and I got the pink and green Joy-Con, or the pink and green Pro controller that's coming out for no reason whatsoever. I ordered it because I thought it looked cool, and I'm going to have six controllers for this damn system within the first, like, 4 months of its release, which is
You know what I just realized?
Yeah.
It's like Nintendo said, okay, we make a lot of money on amiibos, but we've only got so many characters. What can we do?
Yeah, right. Oh, dude, and wait till they come out with the NES-themed controllers and the NES-themed, like, this, you know, the GameCube purple stuff. I mean, they're going to make so much money. I already see Sam, like, his eyes are glowing. I can't wait for the GameCube color purple.
Yeah, if they made a Joy-Con that had the same, like, color configurations as a GameCube controller, that would be immediate ordered. And I
yellow they need buttons to, and oh god.
Yeah, they need to do the pink and green Joy-Cons for Splatoon 2 here, because I know that you can get them in Europe and Japan.
I thought those are confirmed, right? Yeah.
So the Pro controller is confirmed for America. I don't think they're bringing the Joy-Cons.
Yeah, I had to import mine.
Oh, okay.
Like mine are an import order.
Okay. They'll bring those. I'm sure they'll bring
those. I learned something about the Joy-Cons, by the way. If you buy like the neon set, the colors are flipped.
Yeah, so that way you can have both sets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because the console comes with like red on one side and blue on the other. If you buy the set of the other two, you get blue and then red reverse. That way you have which is actually kind of smart.
It's also how you know
that's fucking nice.
Was that?
That's how you know who's a fucking poser who didn't buy the neon.
Nah, man, gray all the way, gray all day.
Let's see what else I've been playing.
I got a question before you move on. I got a question about ARMS.
Yes.
I asked this on Twitter before, but I post so much bullshit on Twitter that nobody responded. Do they call the in-game shop in ARMS the ARMSery?
No, they don't, and they're missing out on that opportunity where you buy the actual the gloves or the ARMS for this thing. I enjoy ARMS. It's kind of bare bones. It's a lot like what Splatoon 2 was. In fact, it's less than what Splatoon gave you. I love the online aspect of it. I think the online is really cool. The lobby is great, and that's how they're doing the Splatoon 2 lobby, which like these kind of floating heads and stuff. Nintendo's got a good thing going with their lobby system, I think. Single player content, there's not a lot, and but I'm enjoying it. I think it's still fun. It's definitely, I've come up, playing online, I've come up against some folks which are pretty freaking hardcore good fighters, and I could tell that they're not playing with motion controls, they're playing with just the buttons, so you could kind of tell who's becoming sort of an ARMS professional. And then I've also been playing but I love the character designs in that, they're awesome. Goner is really good, from a kind of a fun indie game, just a score, procedurally generated score, rack 'em up type of thing. So I've been playing that a little bit.
Yeah, play that PAX and it's fun.
Yeah. And I think it's perfect. Like a lot of these indie games, I think the Switch is perfect for them, much like the Vita was for a lot of that stuff. I think with a bigger screen, the Switch kind of nails it. So yeah, Goner, I've been playing through that. I picked up Snake Pass, it's been on sale.
Oh, yeah.
And also got Puyo Puyo Tetris, because that was
awesome. Yeah.
That game is awesome.
That game is a blast. So pick that up. So
that super game hard. Fucks me up, though, because almost so all the voices are from Persona 5.
Are they really? Oh, okay. All right. And then last but not least, I've been Wolfenstein, The Old Blood. I've started, I had that kind of sitting in my download queue for the longest time. I don't even think I bought it. I think it was like a free or giveaway or something. I don't know what it was. So
it was a pack-in with video cards, I think, when it came out. Maybe.
I don't know. It was on my you know what it was? I think it was one of those many, many, many PlayStation lawsuits, class action lawsuits, where they gave you like cash back or a digital game or something, and I chose the PSN game. And I got I probably got that. So that's what I've been playing. And I think that's all of us. Let's kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about E3, because we haven't had a chance to talk about E3. It's been like 2 months since that time. E3 came and went. It's been awesome. It's a month ago now. Yeah, exactly a month ago. A lot of revelations. I'm going to go through our list of the best of E3, and then we'll kind of jump in with, you guys can ask Tom and I questions about some of the things that we saw over there. But side questing, Ben and Tom and I bounced some questions off each other, some of the stuff that we saw at E3, some of our favorites. And our lists are Marvel's Spider-Man, Moss for the PSVR, Laser League, which is PC and console, Destiny 2, the Alienware Area 51 Threadripper PC, the Super Mario Odyssey, The Last Knight, Dragon Ball FighterZ, or Z, I don't know, and Assassin's Creed. Exactly.
Fighters.
And Assassin's Creed Origin. This is actually the first time an Assassin's Creed game made our best that of game list or anything.
Fucking owns.
That was so good. So those are our list, and we saw a ton. There was so much shit at E3 this year, and it was a very different vibe. And Tom, you will attest to this as well. It was very different than in years past. I think
fucking yellow badges.
There was a class system. The yellow badges, which were the folks that had paid, the 15,000 folks that paid for their, you know, just as attendees, and then the rest of us who were there trying to work and get some stuff done. And then, even then, though, over the years, for everybody that, for anybody that hasn't been to E3, there's even class systems within that. Like, media has always been mixed in with buyers, with marketing, with like GameStop managers, with sales associates. So it hasn't always, it's never been like purely a press thing. It's always been a big mixing because it's a business conference. They're just nice enough, really nice enough to allow press in there. When you go to places like CES and other conferences, it is all about the business. It's just that our little industry is so forward facing with a consumer product that you kind of need press in there to get the word out. But it's a business conference, so getting attendees in there who are just kind of fans created a whole separate dynamic mess.
Mess. Man, type of dynamic that steals display controllers from Bethesda.
Oh God, that happened so much. There was a lot of theft. So for all intents and purposes, this went from being a business conference to a car show.
And it's
show. What I mean by car show is if you've ever been to any like auto show around the US or even in places like Europe and stuff, people steal stuff from their cars. Anything that's not glued down, someone will walk away with. And like I've been in a car shows here in Detroit where people will steal like shifter knobs from cars that are on the show floor for no reason whatsoever. And it happens everywhere. And they started doing that at this show. And that was something that I think it was horrible. At the same time, PAX East was just a few months ago, and companies should kind of have learned, you know, you should kind of already know what to have locked down or not. But either way, I don't think that the publishers really realized what they were agreeing to. And they knew since like December. I spoke to a couple of Tom, you and I were speaking to a friend of ours who will be nameless, but he was telling us how like publishers and you know, companies have known since like early December that this is going to be public facing and to carry over a lot of the stuff that they knew from PAX and other, you know, Gamescom and stuff straight into E3. And they didn't quite do it. A lot of companies didn't do it. Kudos to the companies that did make those changes. Like Nintendo made changes between the first and second day and completely redid the layout of their queue line. Did you notice that, Tom?
Yeah.
So I think Sony did a good job because you had to actually make an appointment even on that first day with Sony to see anything. So it was that was kind of a shit show. For me, the biggest thing was just security. The security.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Whoever their security is at the LA Expo Center was horrible.
You could have brought a duffel bag full of guns into that convention center.
Well, did you see that story that went around? It was big on Reddit like the day after E3 ended.
Oh, the dudes that kind of snuck in?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. A pair of guys just dressed up in like black clothes and just walked in. They looked enough like they were catering that they got past catering and security. And then I think they got into one of the like they tried to get into like a behind.
Yeah, they got it. Yep. Like a behind closed doors thing.
For Destiny, I think.
Yeah.
We played a game where we wanted to see if we could just walk in with our badges not on, and everyone on my team was able to do it.
Yeah, it sucks. That's horrible. I mean, I felt unsafe at one point, especially that was like what, a week before then was something bad happened. I forget what it was. There was like something, whatever happened somewhere else.
There was an active shooter at a con, yeah.
Yeah, and so to have this kind of stuff happen, it's really kind of bad. And I don't blame, it's hard to blame the E3 organizers, but at the same time, that whoever, I don't know if LA Convention Center chooses the security staff.
It's LACC. Or, like the people who man the doors are the Los Angeles Convention Center. Like that's not ESA.
That's right, that's not ESA. Yeah, the ESA rents a place and LACC is supposed to provide the security, and they did not. They did a horrible job.
The last 2 years, I had to show my fucking ID to get in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, granted, the press there. So the media had like a little comfort lounge area where they had couches and they would like serve us like coffee and shit every day. And free Wi-Fi. Yay. But that was like the most secure area. 'Cause you had to show your badge, a wristband, and your ID card to get in. That's the only time I actually felt safe, was walking into that little room. Other than that, you could walk anywhere on that show floor without any kind of pass.
And take another anything, thing, like, apparently.
And take anything, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a business show, like, it's just the show floor. Like, that's right. It. And I saw a lot of people, like, so many people, and just like, if you want, it's the same way at PAX, let's be honest.
Yeah,
if you wanted to get into Nintendo, you're going to have to wait for 3.5 hours at PAX.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just the way it is. But because everything's big, because it's not an indie show, it's a AAA business show, like, everything is like that. So I saw a bunch of people who didn't realize that. A bunch of people, like, there's a second floor that's just meeting rooms.
Yep.
And I saw a bunch of yellow badges just, like, mulling around and, like, peeking into those rooms and then getting real sad when they realized they couldn't go in. Because, like, it's literally a show with just the show floor. It's not like there's a dealer's room. It's not like there's merch. There were two or three, like, I know Ubisoft had a little store and, like, Bethesda had a little shop.
They were, for those that don't know, the ESA said, hey, since we're opening this up to the public, go ahead and sell stuff on the show floor, which some of the publishers decided to do that, and I think it was probably beneficial for them because they were able to recoup some of their costs back, I guess.
And then Sony set up a shop outside, but they do that every year.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you next year, Microsoft will have one on the other side of it, like outside, like the flip side of where Sony's mm-hmm. was. Microsoft.
Yeah,
will
Sony's
have one.
Was right outside the convention center, a giant store.
They fucking cleaned up.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see the pictures of people standing in between both of those taking a selfie so you can see both the logos.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they did that this year with between Sony and Nintendo because they booted Microsoft out to the other. The other hall, thinking that hey, if we can move one of the big companies out to the other hall, that'll make some space for Sony and Nintendo. And yeah, it was still crazy. I think Nintendo was probably the biggest in terms of wait times. I mean, there were some folks. I spoke to someone in line there, that last day, I somehow managed. I just walked into line. Nobody stopped me, and I got into line to play Mario Odyssey again. So I walked in there and I was talking to one of the guy in front of me. I'm like, yeah, how long is this line? He goes, well, this line is about 15 to 20 minutes. He goes, but then the line out there, I was waiting for about 3 hours. I'm like, wow. I'm like, so what do you do after you get done here? He goes, well, I gotta go out. Obviously I gotta go out and wait in line again. I'm like, what have you seen? He goes, well, I've played Mario Odyssey once. I've played Fire Emblem Warriors and I played Mario and Rabbids. I'm like, today? He goes, no, that's all I've played the entire show because I've had to wait 3 to 4 hours in line for each one. And I'm like,
Wolfenstein
oh
was a 6.5 hour line.
Was it? Oh, God. I'm like, I'm so sorry for these people who didn't realize what they were getting into with this. Like, they hardly, they got to experience E3, but they didn't get to play anything, unfortunately for them. Anyways, it was kind of a shit show.
For what it's worth, that's the way it has always been.
Yeah.
Even if, like, it was you or me going in, if we didn't have appointments, we'd be waiting in line for 5 hours. Yep. Like,
last year,
it's not like
the
show
was crazy.
Yeah, it's not like the show suddenly didn't adapt for lines. Right. It's that's just the way it's been for 20 years.
Yep.
It's just
or at
that.
Least 6-7 years. Yeah, for sure. Yep.
But what is it? I feel like maybe everyone should just adopt Sony's model. And just have people reserve times in the morning with an app.
I think and you may have more companies going towards that because that was actually a pretty smart way to do it. That's smart.
Well, they've been doing it for a long time. They've been doing it for like 3 or 4 PAXes.
Yep. And then their Sony PSX and stuff. Let's get into the games before we kind of get too far off topic. We could save that for another day. Tom, what was your personal game of the show?
My personal game of the show was Destiny 2.
That was a ton of fun, man. I gotta say, and I'm pretty shitty at Destiny to the point where both you and I wrote articles about Destiny, like with between each other.
We fucking like my team, like my me and the guys from work fucking wrecked it with a 6-0. Like we just clean to the point where the dude behind us, like running the booth, was like losing his damn mind.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because like someone would die and then they'd self-res, then like one of us would pop a thing and like just wipe the entire team out. I mean, that dude was just losing his damn mind. It was a fun time. Also, Big Show was there playing.
Oh, he was playing around you guys? That's cool.
Across from us.
Did you guys play that first day?
That was weird. Yeah, okay. That was our first appointment.
Yeah, that was I think that was my second day for me. But I really liked it. It's Destiny. It's Destiny. It's not, I wouldn't call it Destiny 2. It's like Destiny 1.5. It was all.
It feels like a Destiny 2.
Does it really? It didn't feel quite. Then again, I haven't played Destiny since that first year. So it may have.
Yeah, I played like 400 hours of that game. There are noticeable changes that made me feel like it jumped forward. Also, just while I'm talking on the same thing, because I have them, because they're back to back appointments in the same booth. The Call of Duty single player looks really cool.
Okay, did you play the single player, or did you play the two?
No, the single player wasn't playable, but there was like a half hour presentation.
Yeah, I saw that too. The multiplayer, the multiplayer was a ton of fun.
It was really cool.
Did you play multiplayer?
Except I did. The room that we played multiplayer in, though.
Oh god, that was tiny. You're packed in there. It was tiny. Dude.
Yeah, and the AC in our unit was broken.
Oh no! Oh no!
So it was like 90 degrees because they have 15 computer setup, and then two people left, and they were the two people on my team, so we just kept getting wrecked because we were down two people.
So it was like real life.
So it was like real life.
Yeah. That the M1 sound is really great, though.
Yeah, it was good. I think the what I liked about it is it turns every battle. So I like their new, I think they called it War, or I forget what it was really, what their
War is awesome.
That's what we played. So we played a few matches of just kind of typical, you know. Capture the flag or whatever it is, team deathmatch. But then the war stuff is great because it gives you these little mini scenarios to go through. There's like two to three scenarios per each war thing. So it's, I think the one we played on was one everybody played on, I'm pretty sure. But it's where you have to kind of go through a city, build a bridge, and capture an armory. Or you have to capture an armory, build a bridge, and then guide a tank through a town, which is pretty cool. And then, so our side was the Allies, and we were playing against the Axis, and the Axis could stop you at these checkpoints. We ended up winning all three actions, or all four actions, whatever it was. But it was a ton of fun. It was so worth it. I'm really gonna dig this.
So the version. Tank is just a payload for those who are curious.
Yeah.
If you get too far away from it, no one's near it, it will go backwards.
Yeah,
it's just straight up a payload, but it's really good.
It's nothing spectacular, like nothing completely new. But I think it's right for what Call of Duty is. Although I didn't think the visuals were all that great. I didn't think they were like super impressive. It felt like up-res Xbox 360 stuff. But whatever, I'll play it. Destiny 2 really good. Call of Duty is good. I liked. I was gaga over Mario Odyssey just because I loved to flip my hat onto everything. I put a mustache on a taxi cab. I was an Uber driver, basically, or a Lyft driver. Mario Odyssey was fantastic. I was torn between that and a couple other games, but I think Mario Odyssey took the cake for me. Oh. I will say, though, that Mario and Rabbids is going to surprise the fuck out of people at how good of a game it is.
I can't wait for that game.
I'm not going to play it because it comes out the same day as XCOM DLC, and I'm just going to play the XCOM DLC.
This August 23rd?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they come out the same day. Yeah.
Oh no.
I thought this was the XCOM DLC. Ooh. but no, people were like, I was surprised at how. So yeah, I think our last podcast was the E3 prediction show, and I was saying how I was maybe kind of slightly interested, in the game, but not really. But maybe it looked kind of cool. And now all of a sudden, after seeing it and playing it, I'm like, oh my god, this is a ton of fun. Like, Zach, I think you were really hyped up on it before E3, right?
No, not before. I was like, this is going to be bad.
Oh.
but then when they showed it, I was like, complete 180. Like, this is going to be one of the best games of the year. Easy.
It's so bizarre to think that Ubisoft did something that, you know, Nintendo... of Nintendo quality, because it really did feel Nintendo quality playing it. So I thought it was great. It looked awesome. Played awesome.
Shadow of War is really cool, too.
Yes, Shadow of War.
I didn't get to drive it.
So good.
Like, only one of us got to drive it. My boss was the driver for that demo. And he like was really bad at it, and they had to come over and be like, "No, try doing this." But
you're supposed to hold a controller really like this, Drake.
So after like the second or third time, they let one of us switch it off, and it was really good. But it still, it looks really interesting and fun. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to checking that
and
out.
And now they just announced that your nemesis from the first game will carry over, right?
Yep.
So I have to pick up the disc for the first game just to be able to do that.
It was like $3 digitally this week.
Oh, I know, right? It's worth picking up specifically to get the transfer over. There's a bunch of stuff on there, a bunch of other games. I was surprised the last night, which is Odd Tales. What I liked about that was the demo was busted. So when the dude was showing us the game, he's like, "I have to apologize." Sorry, it's my horrible.
There's always one demo. Accent.
Yeah, I have to apologize.
There's one that's busted.
Yeah. I'll stop making fun of other accents because my whole family is accents. But he's like, "Guys, I'm really sorry. The demo is busted. All I could show you is Unity, and I'll show you like I'll just kind of run you through how I built it in Unity." And I was gaga because I love art and design and like inside baseball stuff. So all the other folks that were in this tiny little meeting room were like, "Oh gosh, this is just the demo's busted. We're not gonna learn anything." Meanwhile, I'm like leaning in. I'm like, "Oh, dude, put some more bloom in there and change the focus and do this." And I'm like, my eyes are busting out. And I was re-listening to my, I recorded the conversations I had with him during that session. And I'm like, "God, I can't wait for this game. I just want to like load it up into Unity. I'm gonna see if I can get the actual files from him and just fuck around that way." Because it was just that kind of the inside baseball stuff is always cool. And the dude is a graphic designer and advertising. He's known all this, you know, he kind of has a background there. So he was able to really kind of focus. And it looks kind of cool. Let's see what else. Laser League was pretty interesting.
We went to go see Batman.
Go ahead.
We went to go see Batman. The fucking video cards broke.
We went and saw what?
Last year, we went to go see Batman. The video cards broke in the middle of our
tour. Right.
And they had to run the 10-minute intro 3 times.
Oh, dude, you remember, was it PAX East where everything I touched broke? Right? I had like a running count of...
Yep, that was PAX East last year.
I had a running count of everything.
Everything you touched fucking broke. You're keeping a tally of how many things you broke.
That was pretty fun. I think you can still find it up on the site is everything that I broke, even down to, what was it? Like, I at the very end, I broke my stupid, my bag, didn't I? I had to buy a screwdriver to pop open my bag and get it to work. Oh, fuck, that was the worst. Moss, you saw Moss and you really liked it, right? That was at PSVR.
It's really neat. Yep, it's a cool little PSVR platformer. I like 3D platformers in VR because your head kind of functions as a camera, which is neat.
Yeah, same here. I was surprised at how much I liked that too because I played that. Was it the not VR World? There's that PSVR game that the free downloadable game you could play, which is like a 3D platformer. It's like a Crash / Mario.
Oh, it was part of. Double Fine, I think, makes it.
No. Was it Double Fine? It was a.
Yeah, it's the little robot guys, right? The like Playroom VR stuff.
In the Playroom VR. Is that Double Fine?
Yeah. I think so.
Oh, it was. That's kind of cool. And so if Moss is like that, I'm totally into that.
I'm really upset though because when I went to go see the demo, when I left, they gave me a statuette.
Oh, did they? Nice.
Of the mouse. And I put it down to like shake the guy's hand and do all this stuff, and I forgot to pick it back up, and I left.
Oh no! Oh, that sucks. I went over to hand them the award, and I'm like, "Hey guys!" They like usher me upstairs, and like, "Just want to give you guys the you know, I had the little plaque thing, the placard." I'm like, "Hey, just wanted to give you the award." Like they were giving some dude a demo, and they stopped the demo, and it was a dude and like one of the producers and the one of the PR folks. And they stopped and they looked at each other. And the dude, like, seriously, a tear starts to like, roll down his eye. He's like, "This is the most amazing. Oh, my God. Thank you." Like, he was, like, losing his shit. I'm like, "Wow, that's kind of awesome. Take a photo. I took, like, 4 photos with them. And it was pretty funny. I always thought that was actually kind of cool. They were, like, genuinely excited. I'm like, "Oh, sweet." And had I known that you had left your statuette there, I would have grabbed one for you. But, yeah, they were pretty excited. I still got to write the write-up of that unless you want to do that. Make sure that over to
yeah, exactly.
Yes, there's some cool stuff.
Do tonight, tomorrow,
and then Spider-Man was really good. It was a kind of a guided demo. So they played the scene that you saw in the PlayStation YouTube playlist press conference. they played that scene, but they're actually playing through it. So it was kind of interesting. The guy actually.
Go ahead.
Did they do a different path? Because that's what they did for my demo.
They did a different path, but the guy got hit a couple times during our guided demo. And like he actually got hit, and he's like, oh, crap. Like, he didn't realize that he was going to get Spider-Man was going to miss a couple hits or whatever. And then he got kind of attacked that way. So it was pretty funny. So yeah, that was pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. Let's see what else. What did you guys see from E3? All the news that looked kind of interesting, and we'll let you know if we saw some of that stuff.
I guess I in terms of games, that Ubisoft pirate game, Skull.
Yeah.
I think it was. And then alongside that, Sea of Thieves looks really cool.
And pirates were kind of all pirates and skulls were kind of all over the place this year for some reason.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, it was like the theme this year. And there was something else. The Mario and Rabbids.
Yeah.
Mario and Rabbids might be the game that makes me knuckle down and buy a Switch.
I'm really surprised by that game. I am so fucking surprised by that game. I was not going in E3. I'm thinking, okay, this is gonna be just, you know, another Rabbids game, but it works. Like, it actually works. That's all I really can say. It actually works. It works fine. What else did you guys see, Zach?
Shadow of the Colossus remake. I'm really excited about that.
I never played the original,
so
I'll get
that'd
it
be out. Awesome for you.
Yeah.
I
guess somebody interviewed the creator of Shadow Colossus, and he actually wanted to make a bunch of changes. He's like, "Well, shit, if I have the opportunity, I will make changes to this game." But they didn't. I guess.
Why is he Russian?
If I have opportunity, I will make changes. Yeah, he's a Japanese guy with Russian. If I have Shadow of Colossus, we'll make up. Yeah. So, but apparently they didn't go through.
Yeah, that Monster Hunter looks awesome. I watched some behind the scenes stuff, and it was like really.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of the videos. I didn't go in to see that though, but that one's it's apparently they're calling it the next Monster Hunter. It's not like not like an offshoot. Although if they announce Monster Hunter 5, I think that'll actually be bigger. But
still. Yeah, probably. A Way Out looks cool.
That looked cool.
It looks super dope. Dragon Ball Z looks awesome.
I played that. That's a really cool fighting game.
Yeah, I think that kind of takes the cake with a lot of fighting folks, because Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite kind of laid a big so, old turd.
So bad.
Looks like does it play like the older Marvel vs. Capcom
no.
games?
Download the demo, and it plays as bad as the demo.
Not great.
The demo's apparently a significantly older build of the game, though.
It's still played like that, though. Yeah.
The demo of that game's terrible. I was saying, does Dragon Ball FighterZ play
it plays. From what I've heard, it plays like a weird mix between Marvel and Guilty Gear. So it's like a weird mix, but like not as like hardcore. But I think Tom could probably speak more on that though.
Which one? Sorry, I spaced out.
Dragon Ball.
Oh, it plays like I played a lot of Budokai 3 on the PS2. It felt kind of like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. Suddenly I'm on board with this thing.
Guilty Gear and Marvel probably too.
Probably. I haven't played a ton of Guilty Gear, but I remember those CyberConnect games feeling a certain way.
Yeah, I didn't play it at the show, but I know both you and Ben played it, and both you guys were talking about it. So
it's very cool. I'm looking forward to checking it out again. Whenever it finally comes out.
Hopefully, like, beginning of 2018. Hopefully.
Rumor has it March.
Awesome. Yeah, I could see that. I could see March.
Yeah, they said they're, like, 35% done with it, so... Mm. But there's no telling how they're going to work on it from here till then, so...
Yeah.
What else... Other things were you guys... That piqued your interest?
Ni No Kuni 2. Yeah.
They had the Duke Nukem throne. You could take pictures in there.
Oh, that's right. The same throne in the was that in the Ni No Kuni booth area?
Yeah.
Tom was like, "Is that yo? That's the same throne from Duke Nukem." I think they just reused it from like 2 years ago.
That's it for me.
I played the Harmonix card game.
Oh, what did you think of that?
That's really cool. Like, that was the first demo where I was like, man, I just really want to play more of that. I wish that demo was longer.
Huh.
So I'm really looking forward to checking that out. So I'm going to buy it, and that's probably, like, I try and bring a board game every year to PAX. Like, that's probably the one I'll bring to PAX this year.
Now, is that... next year. If you were looking at, if you were taking that card game on a scale and on one end was game and on the other end was musician, how close to which side is that more on? Because I'm not a music person.
Game?
Hmm.
Yeah, because music is secondary because you can't just drop any card anywhere. You may have the Call Me Maybe card, but like if it's not the right track and it's not the right level, you can't use it to knock out something else. So it's not like you can just willy-nilly throw everything wherever you want. It's like, okay, in order to beat this level 2, I need to drop down level 2 or 3 and bump it off. Or like there will be other things, like other game modes where everyone has to rush through and find like, all right, we need a vocal track that's level 2 or higher. So it's like stuff like that. So it's more of, it definitely, the music part is really cool and sounds really good, but it's more of a game, I'd say.
All right.
But you could also save all of your mixes. Like, you just hit a button on the phone, and it just saves the mix to your phone.
Is Call Me Maybe actually in it?
Yes.
Because I've been led to believe that you can play that anytime, anywhere, and get the crowd pumping.
That actually is the case. It has a bunch of different decks. So you can make your own deck like you can anything else. But the way they had it was you'd pick like a genre deck, like as they would sell them in stores and as you get them with the game. So like you could pick the hip hop deck or the electronic deck or like the 80s hip hop deck or like the rock, indie, country, whatever.
It's a strange concept.
Yeah.
It's neat.
Hopefully that'll save Harmonix because Rock Band sure ain't.
Well, Hasbro is fucking handling everything. There were 5 Hasbro people in that room and 1 Harmonix guy.
Oh,
so.
Really?
Oh, did you guys get hands-on with the new... I forgot who did it. It's like a phone game where you like choose like a path, like a story. Until Dawn, those people, I think they're doing it, that phone game thing.
Nah.
Did you guys play that?
No, I didn't. I know what you're talking about. No, I didn't play that. No, unfortunately.
I saw Life is Strange.
Cool. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I saw Life is Strange, whatever the name of that thing is. But that's more of that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
Okay. I saw, I got to play Battle Chasers, which is a game that I've been kind of following along. It's just a kind of a classic turn-based active battle system RPG. Which I love. I've always loved those games. Well, the Joe Madera, who's the creator of the game, he kind of created the Battle Chasers comic back in the late 90s. I think there were only like 4 or 5 issues total of the comic book, but turned it into a game. And it's pretty cool. I like it. If you like classic games, it's coming to everything this fall, including the Switch. That's kind of neat. Let's see what else. I took a look at, I had a chance to see Extinction, which is kind of interesting. From the idea, it's like Shadow of the Colossus, but you're one dude, and you can kind of, I think they said you could change your character along the way, make some big changes and stuff, and I don't know. It seemed kind of interesting. Yeah, that's a big giant orc thing. Let's see what else. I saw a ton of shit. I was just surprised how much crap that I saw this year.
What about that? The game that isn't Destiny, but looks like Destiny was supposed
to be. Oh, yeah. Anthem.
Yeah.
Anthem. I didn't see that, but I didn't go to the E3 thing. The EA thing. I decided not to, but it looks... It's Destiny. BioWare's Destiny. I don't really know what more to say beyond that, but it looks good. It looks better than Destiny. I just don't know how it'll play.
Much like in that trailer, it's like in-game footage. It's just like that's totally a cutscene, but
yeah, okay. Right. It's in-game cutscene footage. Let's see, Bloodstained looks pretty interesting. It's cast. They use polygonal graphics. It looks a lot like that Mercury Steam 3DS side-scrolling Castlevania game, which
doesn't
is really
look good.
which I don't like doesn't. And I that's why I'm not a big fan of the Bloodstained style. It kind of like hand drawn or pixelated is the way to go with Castlevania. Yeah. And so I'm not too sold on this one. Let's see what I'm just kind of plowing through there. Other than that, I played Becoming Human, Detroit Becoming Human.
I'm excited for that.
I was it's another one of the games in
Don't hurt me, Dally.
Yeah, but it's another Quantic Dream game, but I like Quantic Dream games, so even Beyond Two Souls, although I got to get back in that. Did they ever release that for PS4?
Yes, for PS4.
Okay,
yeah. You could look at Willem Dafoe is even creepier. It's pretty great.
Oh, nice. So I may get back into that thing. But I liked it. It's definitely a gorgeous. It's a stunning game. It's beautiful. So, and it's a different take completely on what I forget the dude's creed, David something or I forget the guy's name.
Cage.
David Cage. It's a different type of game, but I'm looking forward to it. The scene that I played. They had a few scenes in around the show floor and stuff, but I played it in the kind of the PlayStation pre-event for their press conference, and it was more of like an interrogation scene. You're trying to stop one guy from you can play a bunch of different characters in this game, but the one that I was sort of this detective, this noir detective guy, and he was getting this a negotiator, and he was getting this terrorist to release this girl, and I think it's one of the opening scenes in the game. He's on top of a building, and you can either save her or negotiate with the terrorist or have her get killed or attack the terrorist and jump off the building. And so there's just a bunch of stuff you could do, but I enjoyed it. It was pretty neat.
That was the original teaser they did for that game.
Was it really?
I think so.
Yeah. They've been showing that off for like 3 years now. Like,
oh shit! Yeah, well, that's the one I played. So that was. There's a bunch of other stuff. I played Fire Emblem Warriors for a little bit, which is I like the Warriors games because they're totally mindless. They're good palate cleansers. And I think that's basically it. It was an Assassin's Creed. I enjoyed an Assassin's Creed game again for the first time since Black Flag. So that's a good thing. It's still not enough of a change to the formula. I will say that it does feel like Breath of the Wild made them kind of rethink a few things. because it was a little bit more freer, I guess, than the last couple, than Syndicate and Unity and Black Flag. But it did, the quality was back up there. And I really like the setting. The setting is, I kind of like this ancient history stuff more than the more modern things, I guess.
Definitely.
Ancient history, at least you can have a little bit more leeway with storytelling and with mythology than you can with the modern stuff. So I'm interested in it. I'll probably end up picking up my first Assassin's Creed game since Black Flag. It's basically it. I saw a bunch of other stuff, but I got to transcribe it. Oh, the OK Go, the Cartoon Network game. So OK Go and
The Superheroes.
Yeah, they were pretty cool. They were both really cool, a lot of fun. They're both RPGs. They're both coming out this year for consoles and for PC. So they're just kind of fresh RPGs. They're really light, which
Steven
is okay.
Steven Universe,
I think, yeah. Save the Light or Attack the Light. I forget one of the. There's one that's already out on tablet, on mobile, and so this is the sequel to that one. And then this is there's already an OK Go game out, but this is a full-on RPG, so that's kind of cool. So expect
that's cool.
I'll have those write-ups pretty soon here. But
Steven Universe game looks cool. So
yeah, it's pretty. It was pretty cool. And they had the one of the producers was there, kind of chatting with me about it. Seemed like a pretty cool game. So
awesome.
I would say though, for me, one of my favorite moments from E3 was the Metroid Prime announcement, because it was the I don't know where you were at. Were you guys Tom? Were you guys watching this from your apartment?
Yeah, we're watching it from the apartment.
In the Airbnb. We were at, Ben and I were at the media lounge, kind of hanging out when the Nintendo was doing their show. And, it's kind of mediocre. People were kind of quiet, just typing away on stuff. But then when Metroid Prime, when they started announcing it, the whole place, like, just dead silent. And the next thing, I shit you not, I haven't seen people react like this in public in a long time. But everybody, or like, I don't want to say everybody, but so many people in the media lounge were cheering and like freaking out when the Metroid Prime 4 logo went up. Like, you hear the And then you hear it go through the crowd outside because they were watching it live stream. They had monitors and stuff set up in the hallway for the folks that were waiting in line to get into E3 proper. And the folks were freaking the fuck out. I mean, it was like a slow rumble, almost like it probably registered on the Richter scale for the amount of people that were yelling and screaming out there. So that was pretty... That was pretty insane. I hadn't seen stuff like that. I think was the Final Fantasy VII one from a couple years ago was pretty big. And then I don't remember what, every few years you get one of these big giant announcements that gets everybody crazy. And this was
Shenmue 3.
Shenmue 3 was almost there. And then that game was probably never coming out. So that's, yeah. That fizzle. But yeah, so E3 came and went. Lots of cool stuff. I'm glad E3 this year was really focused on stuff, or the majority of it was focused on stuff that was coming out this year. So that was kind of cool. I will say we hardly talked about the Xbox One X on this podcast because people hardly talked about the Xbox One X at E3.
Before E3, I predicted incorrectly the price they would launch at, and I still can't believe they didn't.
You said $400 or higher?
I said $399 USD.
Yep. And I think everybody felt that's what they needed to go at. Because now, Tom, you're willing to throw money to the wind because you buy drones. This was far too much money for me at $499. I don't know how you guys feel, but I think the I don't price see is right. myself. You think what?
I think the price is right.
I think for the technology, the price is right. I think for the for what they expect sales wise, so the what
they don't expect much from sales.
Exactly. So the PS4 Pro gets 20% of the sales right now of the PlayStation. Right. I think it's what they've the latest sales figures are showing. So if I actually expect the Xbox market to buy more Xbox One X's percentage wise than the PS4 Pro folks buy of PlayStation. So I actually think that will probably tick up to like 30 or 33%, but
probably
I don't know how much longer they can sustain the Xbox. It's such a weird, there was this weird feeling coming out of E3 of like, okay, you didn't really you showed us Forza, Crackdown kind of went out with a thud.
That looks so not good. I'm not excited about that game.
There wasn't was that Aaron?
I said agent.
Yeah, exactly, agent. Yeah. There. Now, granted, I gotta say that I actually kind of like what Microsoft is doing with their downloadable gaming service.
Yeah, cool.
Because I don't want. So Sony has a Netflix of games with their streaming thing, but I don't want to stream games. I'd rather just download them and have them. I've noticed that now from downloading Netflix videos onto my phone so I can watch them later on because I chew up a lot of data when I'm out. So I would rather download something, play it, and get rid of it. And that's how I've been using my PS4, my Xbox One, even my Switch lately. Well, not my Switch. Who am I kidding? I think that's how I would actually use an Xbox. They just got to get... I think that will eventually become their bread and butter. Is this Xbox Anywhere, whatever they're calling it, service? I think that's gonna become Xbox rather than an actual console. I think they'll probably sell the console as sort of a proxy. But I don't know. I don't know if there was a lot of confidence coming out of the show in what Xbox is doing this year. So they're gonna have to surprise us with some good game announcements.
Like, all the games they showed look cool, but it's like, I can get those on my PS4 or my PC.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to have an Xbox. So, yeah, they just don't have any, like, exclusives at all.
Right. I think that's the big thing, yeah. I mean, Forza looks great, but it's a racing game in a year where there are so many racing games. Like, the Crew 2 looks really good. Need for Speed looked really good. GT Sport looked really good. It's like Project Cars 2 looked really good. There's way too much competition, you know, for racing games. So that was out of the way. And then you have the open world stuff. And so Crackdown's going to kind of get lost in the shuffle there. So, the stuff looked cool, but you can get those games elsewhere. I'm curious to see how it sells. Let's see what else. Yeah, I think that was basically it. There wasn't a whole ton of other stuff that... came out of the show. Other than that, Netflix has Castlevania. We can take one last conversation piece.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
It's apparently very short. It's like 4 15-minute episodes or something.
They're like 20 minute episodes, I think. 20 or 25 minutes at most. The whole thing is like the length of a short feature length movie, I'd say. Right, Zach, did you watch the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing. Yeah.
And I did too, and I think you and I minutes. Yeah, something like that. I think you and I will agree on the animation aspect.
Yeah, it's not too great. I don't think it's that good at all.
The animation is very early. It's probably late 90s level of anime style. I think they add a few like effects like, in there, but
there's some cool looking parts, like where he turns into fire and stuff like that looks cool. Yeah. But whenever there's like characters like talking, it's just the animation is so like short and choppy. It just looks off. There's just something weird going on. But hopefully, if they get like hopefully in season two or whatever, they're able to throw some more money in there.
Yeah, and they announced season two, which is gonna be 8 episodes long. So yeah. This was really like more than anything, it was like it felt kind of like a prequel, a
teaser, yeah,
like a teaser or prequel. Because without spoiling it, like. It's only 4 episodes long, and they're like 85 minutes total. So it's barely a feature-length movie. But they do a good job of setting up everything. So that's at least something. So I think that's probably it for now, folks. We'll have, I think the next episode, maybe we'll focus on the rest of the year and what's coming out, and we can kind of make some calls on what we're looking forward to. But for now, that's our we've been playing in our E3 wrap up. Finally, any final thoughts before we sign off for the evening, folks?
Nah.
Should we get the Patreon going for Aaron to get some functioning technology? Are you using a Commodore 64, Aaron? Is that what you're on right now?
It is. I think it is a 2006 Dell laptop.
Oh, okay.
Torn out. Disc tray.
We lost Zach. Zach actually had to leave. Totally. He probably didn't realize what time it was. He had to be somewhere like at 11 o'clock and we screwed up. Sorry, Zach. All right. Well, you can find Zach at online. You can find all of us online. Zach is at OK Quest. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. Tom, where can we find you?
You can find me at that Tom Johnson.
Sam? Where can we find your fireworks stories? You're muted. You've been muted. Maybe you've been muted this whole time. There you go. Can you hear us now, Sam? Can't hear you.
Find him at SamDie79, I want to say.
You know, something's not working for Sam, apparently. The last time we heard Sam was, I think, 2011. Honestly, I don't think we've heard him. And Aaron, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ScrattyBones and
hello.
Yeah, there you are.
Twitch right. At the same, hello. Except computer's broke. So
okay.
And welcome back, Sam.
Welcome back, Sam.
Hello. It's okay. I haven't talked for a while. I asked about Dragon Ball FighterZ, and that was about it, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you can find me at SamDI79. Now that the fireworks tent is over, I won't be tweeting probably for the next 2 months.
Until July 4th, 2018.
Yeah, but you can go back and listen to the rants of a crazed man who's been sitting in the sun for too long.
Those are fantastic. Please do that. Please do that. He had a hand going for a while there.
Yeah, I was going to make points about video games that I learned down at the fireworks tent. So let's take that just 2 seconds to go over that.
Sure, let's do that, please. Yes, that'd be good.
The number one thing is that Pokemon Go is still fashionable, and we're too old to be into it. Number two is the Switch is if you want to make friends with anybody who's ever played games ever in their life, be playing a Switch when they show up, and they'll spend 20 minutes talking to you about the Switch and not buying any fireworks. And also, the number of video game related merch was about like 90% Nintendo.
Really?
I saw 2 Fallout wallets, and somebody handed me a debit card of Bloodborne.
A Bloodborne debit card
I've ever seen in my life. Awesome. Yeah, it was like a Senny rewards card or whatever. But yeah, so apparently Nintendo is still cool with both the youngins and the olds. So
whenever I pay with my my PlayStation card, I've made a lot of weird friends that way by paying with my PlayStation card at like restaurants and stuff, and it's just my PlayStation branded credit card. And you know, you'll get chatting with people. It's like, oh shit, you got a PlayStation card. That's kind of cool. Do you game? Well, I mean, it's PlayStation, so I probably game. And the next thing you know, you're getting like good conversation and stuff. Or in my case, you get free coffee every once in a while, so that helps.
Nice.
Yeah, this one guy came up and bought fireworks. He was wearing a Squirtle hat.
Oh, nice.
Had a Breath of the Wild T-shirt on. His wallet was one of the Fallout like Vault Boys, and then he was the one with the Bloodborne debit card. And
are you Mr. Video Game?
I sat there and like I was like, oh, you play games, huh? And like I was like, no shit. Like, what a great way to start that conversation, Sam. But he bought like $60 worth of fireworks and stuff. So good on him.
Nice.
Video James.
Games.
Mr. Games, Games Dean himself.
You had some good stuff. We'll have to share those maybe in the next episode too. So
yes. I've been slowly like just writing down like random good stuff that happened. This year actually was less crazy than years past have been with stuff. But I do have, I will say that there is a lovely Amish community that sits right next to the town that I sell fireworks in.
Uh-huh.
And you'd be surprised at how much how interested they are in fireworks and that they actually purchase.
Hmm. Huh.
So stew on that for the next week and a half, or how long it takes us to record another one.
Oh, good. What we'll do is we'll have to start off every episode with Sam's stories, because you do have some fantastic stories, whether they're fireworks or they're your radio station, your spur of the moment radio station work, or other things that seem to happen along the way. I think you have some pretty good content that
pops up. When you work freelance in an area that like doesn't actually have a lot of communications work, you tend to take work that is not even close to sane. Mm-hmm. You were mentioning that radio station one. That was actually for a boat event where the I was running board, but my talent or whatever was actually on a moving boat the whole time. So that was fun.
That's funny. Well, all right, everybody, you can find us at SideQuesting, SideQuesting.com, YouTube, us at SideQuesting TV. I think we're SideQuesting or SideQuesting TV on Twitch and all those other fun things. Yada, yada, rate, review, blah, 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 blah. We'll see you guys on the next episode of The SideQuest. Bye.